The Trayvon Martin case has brought discussions about race in America back to the front pages, the airwaves, and dining tables across the country. In fact, even the president has weighed in, saying if he had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. But our next guest says that since President Obama took office, the dialogue about race hasn't progressed. Reniqua Allen is a freelance journalist. She recently wrote a piece in the Washington Post titled End of Conversation, and she joins us now. Thanks so much.
Good to be here, Jackie. Thank you.
Tell us more about this story and why you wrote it.
So my piece is really about how Obama has really made these discussions harder for us. It's harder, I think, as a country to really have these honest discussions about race. It's not just because there's a first black president, but it's because Obama himself started these conversations, when he was running as a candidate.
Well, you say in the piece, Reniqua, that the Obama presidency is post-racial only in the sense that it gives us an excuse not to grapple with race anymore, unquote. Why do you think that?
I think for a lot of people, black, white, and a lot of other groups, that, Obama's win really symbolizes that we've, quote unquote, reached this kind of proverbial mountaintop. Obama's win symbolizes that, or for a lot of people, I think that, a lot of the obstacles that were faced in the 60s and before that are no longer there. Obama is a visible sign of progress to many people. He symbolizes the fact that anybody can do it. And so I think that it's hard for us because of him. It's hard for us to really talk about it because, as an African-American, for me, I have people saying, Obama did it. Why can't you? And on the other side of it, people are saying, here's an example of an African-American that can do it. Whites aren't, we're not all racist. We voted for Obama as well.
In fact, you start the story, you're out with some girlfriends, and they are saying the only person for whom race is important is you. Your girlfriends are white, you're not. Why do you think this is a good time to talk about race, and what do you think we should be talking about?
Man, well, that night out actually broke before the Martin incident really hit national headlines. And I think this is actually the perfect time to have those conversations, because I think that Obama has been president long enough. For a lot of people, we see he is not the miracle worker that many people, I think, thought he was, both from blacks and whites and Latinos and these other groups. But at the same time, we've also seen, I think, an incredibly racially charged environment. I think this election season has already proven it. And I think now is really, especially with the Martin incident, now is such a great time to really talk about these issues. And they haven't gone away since Obama has become president. And as we see, this is just another reminder that we do need to talk about it. Obama's presidency is a reminder that, the post-racial thing didn't quite work out like a lot of people thought it would. And so I think this case is just another sign that, things are still, we still have a lot to work on.
Well, actually, as you say in this piece, 4 years ago, the candidate, Barack Obama, gave a very widely noted speech about race, which you reference here. Is there something specifically that the president has done that you think has let you down in terms of the promise that he might lead the conversation about race?
I think it's not so much what he's done, but what he hasn't done. I think he started off with the Henry Louis Gates and, in the Bear Summit. Professor Gates was arrested in his own home, mm-hmm. A couple of months, right after Obama was elected.
In Cambridge, Massachusetts.
In Cambridge, Massachusetts, absolutely. And Obama got a lot of flack for critiquing the police, and again, from African-Americans and white officers together. Obama got a lot of critique for, saying that the police officers acted stupidly in that case. And I think since that moment, he's kind of shied away from really talking about racial incidents. I understand absolutely why Obama, maybe even in that situation, didn't need to weigh in on the specific facts.
But let me ask you, your piece was among the most emailed, End of the Conversation, and how the first black president makes it harder to talk about race. The Atlantic pushed back on its website and saying that the President Obama should not be in the lead to engage on this kind of dialogue. What do you think about the reaction to the piece?
Right. So like what I was saying is, and my bigger point is that Obama doesn't have to wait on these specific incidences. But what he can do is talk about the broader context of the issue of race, the systematic inequalities and injustices that still are very much a part of our society, very much a part of some of the policies that are in D.C. So those are the kind of conversations that I want Obama to lead. I spoke with that writer from The Atlantic. And, you know, I understand some of his critique, but at the same time, Obama, I think he has a very powerful voice. We're not just talking about Obama being a black man able to talk about it. You know, we're talking about Obama is the president. And, you know, as the president, I think, you know, he wants to make sure that society is, you know, it's fair and equitable for everybody. And I think so it's part of his responsibility and you know, part of his duty, you know, as the president, not just the president of Black America, but to make sure that, you know, Americans are able to, you know, to live equitable lives and that the really systematic inequalities don't exist.
Reniqua Allen is a freelance journalist. She wrote a piece in The Washington Post about how the first black president has made it harder to talk about race in America. She joined us from our studios in New York. Reniqua Allen, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Jackie.